The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, friends, comrades, patriots, and other people. You are joining We the People Radio.
Spies, you forgot the spies.
And spies and infiltrators. All those wacko left liberals that are tuning in and won't admit it. Good morning. You are joining Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio. Another Sunday coming up on 2 years. I was talking to my friend Linda about that this morning. She said, how long have you had the radio show? And I said, you know, we've got a 2 year anniversary coming up.
Yeah, like October, right?
Yeah, October 1st.
Oh, boy. Bob, when did you join us? A year ago, right?
As a regular, I had filled in a couple of times before, but I became a regular on the September 11th show last year.
And, you know, we're kind of all the same age category, and we have the same upbringings and you know, music genres that we grew up to. So that's been really cool for us with our little collaborations with Bob. So anyway, if you are just tuning in.
Yeah, because I used to have to do the music before.
Oh, you did.
I was so happy to retire.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us. You will find everything about today's guests and individual links to every show we've ever done, and every show contains information that you will never hear in the mainstream media, so there's no excuse not to click on that link and email it out far and wide. The number to call is 530-605-4567. Today we're going to be talking about voter and election fraud and what you can do about it. And this is actually a very mainstream topic. So I encourage you to call in and ask questions of our guest as we roll out today's show. And we're going to have a workshop in Reading today on this issue. So it should be action-packed for the next couple of hours.
And I know from listening to Sirius XM Left that there is no election fraud. There is no election fraud. They talk about it all the time. There is no election fraud.
Yeah.
It's conservatives trying to get more votes.
Yeah.
We're out there just cheating.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, well, Linda, you know, thanks for helping us cheat. As long as that's what,
yeah,
you know.
And Linda will tell you that there actually is voter fraud on both sides.
So of course there is.
She says there's a little more on the left, but there is voter fraud on both sides.
Well, I mean, anytime you say there's never something,
then there's some.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's silly.
Yeah. Hey, so did we do anything exciting this week? Let's see. What big things happened? Went to another sheriff's event, but that was last weekend.
No. 2016.
Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah. I saw that movie.
Have you seen it yet, Linda?
Not yet. Yeah, I saw it yesterday. There were, it's actually number 4 out of the top 10 movies. I read that last night. And Hollywood is just flipping out because their mainstream, you know, twisted movies that they think will appeal to mass audiences are well below the Obama America of 2016. And I have to tell you that the movie was not a hit piece on Obama.
No.
I want to clarify that. It actually was completely factual, almost to the point of being, it was not action-packed, but it was very informative and factually
based. Well, it kind of just marched through, you know?
Yeah.
And he looked at it coming from outside the country.
Yeah.
It was really a cultural comparison.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and we all know where you grow up. I don't care if it's Southern California, Northern California, you know.
Timbuktu.
There's a culture there.
There is.
And so he really does a nice job of following that chronological order.
Yeah.
And
whether you love Obama or you don't love Obama, you will appreciate learning more about him.
Well, you ought to know who he is.
Yeah, because let's face it, when we voted him into office, we did not know who he was. And how often, I mean, when is that ever a good idea? To vote anyone into a position that powerful when you don't really know who they are?
Yeah.
Oh, when you want hope and change.
Yeah. And I want to know how many people run their lives that way. Do you balance your checkbook that way? Do you pick your children's
colleges
that way?
Well, you wouldn't buy a house that way.
Would you buy a house that way? What in your life do you do that is that major and you base your decision on hope? Who does
that? My checkbook is based on hope and leftover change.
Come on. I was fishing for this because, you know, We always have stupidity that happens during the week. You know, we have...
Yeah, we do.
We have the excitement that comes out. We call it the Capitol Alert.
Yeah, it
comes
Sacramento.
Out. There should be news.
Linda, you're probably familiar with that.
Oh, yeah, the Capitol Alert. There should be news. So, let's see. I'll get to the... We didn't do the Navy ship. That was last week, wasn't it? Gosh, it seems like such a long
Harvey
time ago.
Harvey Milk.
Yeah, they spent all of Tuesday morning, I believe it was. The greater part of Tuesday morning, the California State Senate spent a tremendous amount of time debating on whether or not they should name a Navy ship after Harvey Milk. Yeah, mm-hmm. but see, the real question is, does the California State Senate name Navy ships? Oh, no, wait, they don't. But with all the stuff going on, they spent a huge amount of time deciding if they should name one after Harvey Milk. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
What is going through the air ducts in there? Then we had, this struck me funny. The title of the article was, Assembly Sends Jerry Brown Bill to Protect Illegal Immigrants. So you're like, more? We're going to protect more illegal immigrants? Are we giving them more money too? This is
terrific.
Yeah,
I mean, what don't they have already?
Okay, the Assembly Friday passed and sent to Governor Jerry Brown legislation that would prohibit law enforcement officers from detaining undocumented immigrants. I'll give you a clue. I'm getting to the good word here. Detaining undocumented immigrants for federal authorities when they are released from criminal custody unless they have a history of serious or violent crime. So apparently if they were just jaywalking... And they're illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. We don't deport them.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, we have a lot of crimes on the books that are not serious.
Mm-hmm.
That you get arrested for, I guess.
Yeah.
And so when you're
in criminal custody. But what's the criteria? What's the criteria for a serious crime? Who decides that?
I have no clue. So Tom Ammiano, the Democrat out of Assemblyman out of San Francisco, says, this is a bill that speaks to humanity.
And people,
I was like, "What humanity? What are you talking about?"
You just have to understand that all of these really crazy decisions that they're making is all based on keeping one party in power.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
I mean, how nutty is that? That was all one sentence. Detaining undocumented immigrants for federal authorities when they are released from criminal custody, unless they have a history of serious or violent crime.
So, but criminal would imply serious.
I was kind of blown away when I saw a criminal, and yeah. So anyway, apparently, if you were in
criminal custody, would apply a history,
wouldn't you think? So you know, apparently, if you're a serial jaywalker, you're good to go.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, we have a lot of crimes in California. Apparently, aren't serious. So all those people out there that are contemplating, you should get the list.
There you go. So now we've dispensed with our meaningless chatter and our housekeeping details.
That was news.
That was news. And those were the important things that we needed to make sure that you heard about this morning.
Well, you know, people think, the Hound Bill, Hound Bill advanced one more click.
Yeah.
The Fish and Game Bill is moving, down the pipeline. I mean, there's all this stuff pending that's huge that's going to super affect people's lives. And this is the kind of stuff they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That went to the governor's desk.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you got to wonder.
You know, for all those people out there.
I'm sorry, did something new happen with the Hound Bill this week? Because I thought the committee voted it down last week.
No.
It went through the...
In our dreams, they voted it down, but
it went through
the
assembly and...
Now it's got to
go back
to
the Senate for...
Concurrence.
For tweaking.
Or maybe the committee voted it down, but the full assembly approved it. Is that what
happened? No, they just amended it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
They just changed it a little bit. They didn't amend the part about how you could use dogs for hunting bear and bobcat, though. They didn't amend that part.
Yeah.
That's still in there. Yeah, we're just gonna let, you know. Yeah, so anyway.
Okay. So,
before I go on a rant, I feel a rant coming.
Before we take our first break, I'm going to introduce our guest, Linda Payne.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that at the beginning.
We usually chit-chat for a while just to stir people up and get them mad. We like to create a hornet's nest effect. Have we done that? Are you pissed out there, folks?
I don't feel like I created a hornet's nest. I did not get the memo. Bob, did you get the memo on that? I did not know we were creating a hornet's nest effect.
I missed the hornet's nest addendum. Yeah.
Yeah, you're wearing a very cheerful shirt. Bob's wearing too cheerful a shirt for hornet's
nest. You're not going to be. Anyway.
Yes, I successfully infiltrated San Francisco yesterday.
I forgot about that. He calls me up. He's all, I'm going behind enemy lines. I was like, where are you going?
AT&T Park.
How'd that work out?
Not good for Giants fans. The Giants had won 7 out of 8 going into yesterday's game, but they lost 7-3. They were due for an off day, I guess, but it was a sellout. We had a great time. And
I told Bob it was so bizarre to listen to somebody do something normal.
He went to a ball game.
Like things that you do in real life.
It's as normal as things get in San Francisco, yes.
We went to movies, but we went to political movies.
Yeah.
And to answer your question that you asked me before I left, no, I did not see any naked people sitting in the bleachers yesterday.
Yeah, because, you know, they passed that new ordinance that you can be naked in San Francisco as long as you carry a towel. So when you sit on public surfaces, you sit on a towel.
Oh, okay.
I told him he should carry a towel anyway just for good measure.
Yeah, probably a good idea. And a little disinfectant.
Do you remember what I said? I said the Giants could turn that into a promotion.
Exactly. You could have the naked section.
They could give give away towels to the first 10,000 people with Dodger logos on it that say, sit here.
There you go.
That's probably why they passed the ordinance.
Okay, Bob, I want to know how long you worked on that one.
Oh, he was,
well, I had... Okay.
He was full of it.
Had 8 hours in the car total yesterday, so...
A lot of time to contemplate. A lot of time to think that one.
They're mulling it over.
Okay.
Yeah, did you know that, Linda?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so if you need to go to San Francisco and you feel the need to be naked, just carry a small towel.
Yeah, and you'll be fine. Absolutely. Now, you may need to lean in a little bit because you have a soft voice.
Okay.
So, Linda Payne is from the Election Integrity Project, and she is in Reading today and was here last night and will be leaving tomorrow, but we're having a workshop today that is going to teach us everything about voter and election fraud and what we can do. And I'm not going to go into any more detail, but I'm going to pass it on to Linda. The rest of the show is yours, and you know what you'd like to cover today. We chatted in the car on the way over. She said, what can I do and what can't I do? And I said, Aaron and I are vehemently opposed to political correctness. You do what you want.
You can say crap, too. We learned that.
Yeah, I told her all about that story. Okay. Can I say crap, Bob?
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. I've got my finger over the button.
Okay, Linda?
The one day we said crap, we're like, oh, well, wait, she can't take it away because we have to have a commercial.
Ah, okay. So Linda
hold
Payne?
Hold the take it away part, and
we'll
then we'll
back.
Take it away when we come back. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Time is truly wasted. There's no guarantee.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
We got to put you down, we fall into town. Bring power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people right on.
We're back. We the People Radio. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Jump on the chat room. Call us 530-605-4567. Everything you need to know is at WeThePeopleRadio.us. So, Linda Payne from Election Integrity Project. Take her away.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and giving me an opportunity to share with everyone what we've been doing, how we got started, and what the game plan is for the rest of the months leading up to November. We got started after the 2010 elections when many of us down in Southern California got behind some of the constitutionally conservative candidates and watched those races, saw that people were excited and interested in these candidates. And the indication was that they should have won their races. And when they all went down one after another, we realized something was wrong. So we were part of a group out in Southern California called the SoCal Liberty Coalition. We were grassroots organizers from the counties in Southern California. And we would meet a couple times a month, kind of in the center of those counties, and began to talk about how do we solve the problems and began to compare notes, what's happening in each of our counties. And when the pattern began to show that the issues were similar and we weren't alone in our own counties, we started to problem solve. So the long and the short of it is when we realized that there were issues with our elections, that candidates that should have won races didn't win races, and the answers were not easy to find, we started digging in. We contacted True the Vote, which is out in Texas, and they began an organization to look at voter fraud in Texas. And so we contacted them and asked if they could help us here in California to get started to do the same thing. And we got on a conference call and to find out what was going on. And they invited us, a couple of us, to come out to Texas to their first Texas training. And so we did. And what we learned was that there's a basic approach that actually now I believe there are 32 states doing the same type of thing. Each of us have a different name, but we all started off with True the Vote and watching what it is they were doing and learning from them. The basic plan is it's a two-pronged approach to clean up our elections. One prong is to clean up the voter rolls. We have found that in California, there is not really a statewide database. There is a compilation of databases from our counties.
And you told me that that California is the only state in the union that does not have that statewide
database. That's correct. When you don't have a statewide database, it makes the work of cleaning up the statewide voter rolls very difficult. I do want to say that really most of our registrar voters really do work hard to try to update the voter rolls. We have heard from many registrar voters in the state that there is frustration. They're trying to do a good job, and they don't have the tools that they need. The policies and procedures coming out of Sacramento from the Secretary of State sometimes make their job more difficult. And that's really our approach. We really want to work with the ROVs in a positive manner to ROV, meaning Register of Voters, to help in any way we can with updating the voter rolls. And so that is part of what our mission is to purchase the voter rolls, go through the voter rolls, look for duplicate ballots or duplicate registrations, I should say, perhaps registrations that are registered at a business. Sometimes these are clerical errors. We have a big push to re-register voters, and sometimes that's a good thing. If you've moved or you haven't voted in a long time, or maybe you've gotten older and your signature has changed a little bit, there's good reason to re-register. But if you're not updating the voter rolls and removing the older or the one that doesn't match your signature anymore, then it becomes a problem.
Okay. And how much problem is there really with, for instance, folks that have passed away?
Still
being on the voter rolls.
Yeah, that's a very big problem. It's a big problem because it's part of the bigger problem. When you don't update the voter rolls, then people who've passed away are still on those voter rolls. And the problem with not updating the voter rolls and removing people who've passed away, people who have registered more than once, people who have moved out of state, is you now have a lot of registered voters on the rolls that can be manipulated by someone who is so inclined to do so.
Mm-hmm. And potentially absentee ballots.
Oh, yeah.
Being mailed out.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. We are.
Grandma's ballot's still here.
Yes.
Yay.
You know, and we have heard from people in county after county, they have tried to have people, their loved ones who passed away, removed from the voter rolls. And year after year, those names are still there. And our concern really rose up as we started to communicate with these registered voters. And the message we heard more often than not was that there's not money in the budget to update the voter rolls. They don't have staff. They don't have volunteers who will help do it. And so it seemed to us that the registered voters, for the most part, really want to do the job but don't have the resources to do it. And we spoke early on back in 2010 with an elections law attorney just to get a feel, well, what can we do? And the answer was, it's going to have to come from the people. We have to get involved, and we have to help.
You know, we're hearing that a lot now from a lot of our legislators. They're real honest about the fact. They'll look you in the eye and say, I'm sorry, our hands are tied in ways you'll never know. We really need you to do this. Mm-hmm. It really comes back to us.
You know, it does. And so we, I think one of the messages I want to get out today too, is that our effort is a nonpartisan effort. We do not see this as an issue between Republican or Democrat. In a representative republic, which we are supposed to be.
Not a democracy, folks.
Not a democracy. the United States was founded on principles of a representative republic, where we know that we can vote in people who go to seats of the legislature, and they represent we the people. So it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, there should be someone, or independent or anything else, there should be the ability to vote for someone who represents you. And just a little swinging on the side here. With the passing of Prop 14, we are no longer a representative republic
and
in California.
And describe Prop 14 to our listeners.
Prop 14 was passed in 2010, and that was called the top two primary. And with the passing of the top two primary, the result is that it's no longer an assurance that a Democrat, Greenpeace, Republican, Independent has the same opportunity to have someone represent them in the legislature. It's been simplified to what's called a simple democracy. And a simple democracy is a 51% model. So what that means is of everyone running for office, the top two vote getters move on to November for what is now called the runoff. See, even the language is being changed in our elections, and that's why we need to pay close attention to language and how things are being handled. So with the top two primary, we now have a situation where many races in our primaries, the top two vote getters were either two Democrats or two Republicans. And in those races, there are now people who we would say are disenfranchised. They don't have
representation.
And that is unconstitutional. So many people, as I've traveled up and down the state and we've talked about this, many people voted for Prop 14 for the top two primary because they did not understand that's what it was.
What they thought they were going to do is eliminate gridlock.
That's right. And that was the hope. We all want to eliminate gridlock. They thought they were just simply saying, listen, you can vote in the primary for anyone you want to vote for. And that didn't turn out to be the big picture of Prop 14. So now we have the challenge of many races going to November, not for an election, but for a runoff between the two top vote getters.
So what happens now with write-ins?
You know, I'd have to even look that up. We're with Election Integrity Project, we are very careful to follow the elections code. You know, I didn't think to bring it, but it's about 2.5, 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
So we have, as with all things in California, lots and lots of laws and rules.
Sure.
And so the top two primary, because it was so new, there was a lot of chaos and confusion in the primaries about how to handle that. And even now, we're still digging in. How do you handle the write-ins? And I would recommend anyone who has questions on how this should all work, go to the Secretary of State's website. You can do check on their link on elections and type into their search section, top two elections, and you'll get all those rules in there. And there's a lot of them.
Because, you know, we can't possibly function without rules and regulations.
Lots of them. Lots
the more,
of them.
The more, them. The better.
There was a comment made in the chat. Somebody said that, you know, with the amount of things that the registrar has to do and the amount of cutbacks that we've experienced, in a lot of cases there isn't money to do some of the things that we need to do. So when we come back, we should probably start there. Okay, am I designated to comb the Secretary of State website and see if I can figure out what happens with write-ins?
Sure, go for
okay.
it. Okay. Our little research.
All right, I'll be doing that in my spare time. Unless somebody else out there in Radio Land would like to do that, that'd be awesome. And by the way, the chat room, you have to scroll it. So for the people that are logging in over and over, we can see you, but you won't know you're logged in unless you actually scroll that. So
you're a self-scroller now.
Yeah, so enjoy the chat room, but
because we need you to be accountable and responsible for yourself.
Yeah, we need you to do that. Everything yourself. All back to us again.
You need to use the analog scrolling method today.
Yeah.
Most of us have forgotten how.
I know. It's people just sit there and look at it. It's like, come on, do it, do it. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, so I'm liking the title of the fun song we're going to hear. Alrighty, you're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. We'll be right back with you at the home of Free Fire Media.
Haven't heard about the guy known as the cheater. You'll take your girl and then he'll
us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
And we're winning.
WeThePeopleRadio.us. Everything you need to know is there. Hey, so everybody, if you're on your computer right now, go to the Election Integrity Project. That is the website of the Election Integrity Project. And there is a link.
What a good name.
Isn't that incredible?
Linda, you're like a genius.
We love it.
That's awesome.
There's a link that says resources, and if you click on that link, you can go down to California Election Code Q&A and search California Election Code. So there's a whole list of resources there for you if you want to find out what the rules and regulations are.
And it's Election Integrity Project.
.com or .org.
It says .com right here on our website.
.com.
Let's see if Robert did his homework. Hold on. I'm going to find out in 2 seconds. Oh, it's coming up. .com.
Okay.
Good job, Robert.
So, Linda, we're going to chat about what volunteers can do.
Okay. The second prong of the work we do is volunteers who we are training to go to the polls and observe. And I'm so glad you brought up the elections code and how people can find that there. As we began to observe early in 2010 and then began to research afterwards, what we realized is that the policies and procedures for our elections don't always match the elections code. And so over time, what we've developed is what we call traditions. You know, this is how we've always done it. Well, but it doesn't match the elections code. Yeah, but this is how we've always done it. So there's this kind of conversations that we've had with poll workers, and we love our poll workers. I am so thrilled to say in the primaries, we trained and sent out 1,000 volunteers from San Diego County up to Sacramento County.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm just going to trail off here. I am so proud and excited about Californians' activism and involvement. No other state in the union brought out the numbers that California brought out, and this was by word of mouth.
And you and I were talking because you travel the entire state of California. That's all you do.
Well,
you
not quite all.
You bought a car specifically for that. Yeah. Anyway, and you said that people do not realize how much activism there is in the state of California, how much people are really fighting back. There's this image that California citizens are rolling over and taking it, and you said that could not be further from the truth.
That's right. That's right. It has really become a huge benefit of traveling all over the state because I get to see that. I get to see every state that, every county where we think, oh man, that county's lost. Absolutely not.
They don't care.
Absolutely not. LA County, activism all over that county. So the exciting thing is J. Christian Adams is a federal law attorney. He is the election law, what is his news? He was a department, he worked for the Department of Justice back in 2008, retired or resigned from the election law, the DOJ, and started the Election Law Center. Mm. And he does amazing work across the country fighting voter fraud and helping organizations like ours all over the state with doing the work.
That's great.
So we chat with him, you know, now and again, and again, we called him 2 days before the primaries just to touch base and let him know we had 1,000 people going out to the polls, and he commented that that California was so energized. There were more activists here than any other state. I'm trying to remember the word that he used, energized.
And you also told me, we were talking on the way in, that you have a philosophy, and I mentioned that Aaron shares that philosophy, that we can't abandon the state of California as our home, and that there are some folks that want to steer us away from California, and they say that California's a lost cause, and that we need to go fight battles in other states. Tell me what you think about that.
You know, I was really alarmed to start to hear that message because it's not a good strategy. We in EIP are very strategic with what we're doing. We try to be really smart with the limited resources that we have. And to hear the idea that California volunteers should just give up at this last turn, we've been running a marathon now for 4 years almost, and at this last part of this marathon, we've turned the corner. We're almost there. We're at EIP working for fair, honest elections for all voters to now have messaging that instead of observing our polls here in California, we should go to another state and observe those polls there. And that's like saying, you know, the Titanic is, it just, it, there's no hope for it. Just let everything crash and burn, hit those life rafts, and you're out of here. And, or to somehow think that we would leave
but
our
see, on the Titanic,
abandoned.
That actually was a good idea. So
well, true. That was a good idea.
Scratch that.
Well,
if you're on an actual boat,
then you can do it. Yeah, I was thinking Titanic because our state's so huge. But yeah, you're right there. But you know, the thing is, if we stop the work here, then we don't have a chance to have fair and honest elections here. And
true.
That's what we've been working on for 2 years. The other states are also working on that. So if I could say to the people in California, you are not alone. There are so many activists working on so many issues in California.
And we're such a large state geographically that it's hard to know what folks are doing in other parts of the state. You were shocked at what Northern California is experiencing with the assault on our natural resources and everything that's connected to that. You had no idea.
Right. And very often as I travel up in Northern California, I hear people say, well, you know, Southern California, you know, they're not doing anything. And then I begin to share with them just what we are doing and what is happening. And so that is the benefit of communicating across our state, and I would really encourage that continual networking to stay and guard our vote. And that's that second prong that we do. We really believe that a fair, honest election will happen when the election codes, when the law is being followed. And during the primaries, those 1,000 volunteers that went out, what we did is equip them with what we call our election issues handbook. And it's a basic handbook that describes various issues that are happening in the elections and then the elections code that describes what should be happening. And so our job is to very respectfully observe the election poll location where they've been assigned. We do not interfere with the voters, with the poll workers at all. If our volunteer sees something that doesn't match what's in the elections code, then we simply point it out to the inspector. That's the only person that we talk to. And what we found in the primaries is the large majority of inspectors that we presented the elections law and compared that to what was happening, that those inspectors made the change. And that was such good news that the large majority of our inspectors want to follow the law. The workers want to follow the law. And when presented with, here's what the elections code says, they made the change. And those laws are there to protect our vote.
So is it safe to say that if someone goes through the Election Integrity Project training, that they will know election code and law as well, if not better, than a lot of the folks that are already involved in that process?
Yes, we did actually even hear that. We had poll workers and inspectors who are being trained in process. That's the standard. When they do their training with the registered voters, they're trained in the basic process. Arrive at 6 a.m., set up your polls. You know, here's how you run it. It's your basic procedure, but they're really not taught the elections code. And I don't know where along the way maybe that didn't get taught. Maybe at some point it was taught. Mm-hmm. But it is not being taught now. And so when we present to them the elections code, some of them, they've never seen it. They've never heard. Oh, are you kidding me? So when someone comes in to vote, the actual elections code says that the voter initiates conversation. The voter comes in and says, my name is, they state their name. The poll worker then repeats the name. Okay, thank you, Linda. We've got you down. So there's a clear communication that I know my name. It's not someone impersonating me. It's me. Then I go to the next step and I initiate. I live at, and I give my address. And then the worker says, okay, we've got you. You live at. They mark it down and cross it off. And then I go on to sign the book. What we're finding instead is the what we call fast pass is people are coming in with a slip of paper, a three and a half, or their sample ballot, and they just walk in and hand it to the worker, the poll worker. And so there's not even, sometimes not a conversation. They simply look at the name, mark it off, pass it down to the next worker. They look at the slip of paper or the sample ballot, see the address, mark it off, and then they have the voter vote. Well, what that is what we call opens the door to voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone were able to get a hold of a sample ballot, or how in the world, what does that slip of paper mean? And our observers observed this, a slip of paper, here, this is who I am. That is how a person's vote can, a person can impersonate a voter, mm-hmm. is just put it down there. We've also, our observers described people coming in and saying, oh, that's me right there, and just pointing to a name. Now, that could be because they voted in the same poll for such a long time. They know the poll workers. They're all friends. They know each other. And you just point, that's me right there. Or they have a difficult name to pronounce, and so they don't want to deal with the pronunciation challenge. They just point, that's me right there. But you see that the elections code does not allow for that. And that's because that elections code procedure is there to protect against potential voter impersonation. Mm. So if someone is allowed to just ignore the elections code, it opens the door for someone to walk in and say, that's me. Mm-hmm. And if that poll worker doesn't actually know that person to be them, they absolutely have to challenge that and say, and what is your name? And if even if you have a difficult name, you know how to pronounce it.
Sure.
So that's how you find out if it's an impersonator, if it's a difficult name and they can't pronounce it, red flag.
Mm. Okay. Well,
good news.
Because I was thinking, I usually vote absentee, but I know I have walked in and said, oh, there I am right there. I've done that.
Sure.
I've been that person.
But then they know me at my poll place.
Sure.
So.
They didn't know me because I was, what did I do? I lost my absentee or left it in the car. Something happened anyway.
Right.
And I went in there, but I've done that, and nobody said anything.
Sure, and you know, for the most part, you know, oftentimes that's how that has slowly evolved.
Sure,
because you have poll workers who've worked the polls for years and get to know your neighbors, and it just becomes comfortable. So you think, well, why do we need to follow this one? Well, we'd like to recommend that we go back to following the law.
Right.
Even if you know someone,
right.
Just follow it.
And, you know, I was going to say that I think you mentioned earlier that a lot of the ROVs, which is, you know, Registrar of Voters, are really open to the idea of well-trained, knowledgeable volunteers assisting them in the process. And our own county registrar contacted me earlier this week, and she had, she understood that we were having this workshop, and she was very receptive to it, happy that we were doing it, and looks forward to working with us afterwards.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great.
All right. We better take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you. You are listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Still you wonder who's cheating who, who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight and whose car is parked next door.
We're back. Again, we are with Linda Payne of the Election Integrity Project.
And I just want you to know that next door, I got a lot of different cars parked there all the time, and I don't know what's going on. I need to play that song real loud out the window one day.
Okay, and go to WeThePeopleRadio.us. Everything about Linda and the Election Integrity Project will be listed there with links to everything that we talk about today. And we've got a caller on the line that I accidentally blew off.
He's been our hostage for 20 minutes.
I am so sorry. Hello, Mike.
Hello. I wasn't blown off. I was blown away, but not off.
you got a question?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact. The media role in elections, they say that the voters don't really start paying attention to it. close to the campaign anyway. And if you look at the judicial election in 2010 in Alameda County, the way in which the media manipulated the information to influence a close vote was probably one of the worst cases of election rigging I've ever seen. Are you familiar with that race?
Negatory, good buddy.
A male drag queen named Mikulikowski was running for judge. He is now the judge. And he was running against a guy named Creighton. The media news for the Bay Area had endorsed Creighton, but they only ran the endorsement with the information and background in areas where Kolakowski was strong, and they deliberately censored the same information and same endorsement from other parts of the same electoral district, which means they told people in Oakland one thing and people in the eastern part of the county nothing. And I think that was the difference in that judicial election, was simply the media manipulation of the information provided to voters.
Linda, you found that in the elections that spurred on the Election Integrity Project, correct? In 2010? The media basically stood up and said you lost before the polls closed?
That's a nice one.
Well, in one of the races, we did find that 10 minutes before the poll closed, the media showed up at the headquarters of one of the candidates and wanted to get their comment on having lost the race. And that was, for us, a red flag. How in the world does the media already know a race is called before the elections are even over? You know, the challenging thing that we have learned with the media is we can't always trust the information that's out there. And that's unfortunate, because once upon a time, journalism and the media was the fourth prong, really, of a free country. And because of that,
the state of government, legislative, executive, judicial, and tabloid branches.
Correct. Right.
The problem is, how can we hold the media to any electoral laws when they are so capable of throwing an election at the last minute just by manipulating the data that is prevented to the voters who are looking for it by them?
Yeah,
good question.
Yeah, you're headed to the polls and you're one of those people who just wants to be on the winning team.
Well, we saw that in 2000 with the election in Florida, where there was still voting going on in the panhandle, and the media had called the state Fort Bush. How many people were discouraged from going to the polls in the panhandle and casting because they knew the vote was over in Florida went to Gore?
Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, actually. I've been calling people to go to the polls, and people say, no, it was over 3 hours ago. You know.
Yeah, and they do assume that.
You know, I think part of it is comes back to what you're doing. We the people, we have more and more come to realize that we need alternative options for media, and we have to become savvy. This is kind of if you've got a football game you're watching, and you've got two different teams, the team takes their own strategy, puts it together so that they know what's going on. We've not realized that we the people are on one team, and we've got a takeover in some areas of our media who are manipulating the vote through messaging. Once we realize that, then we need to change our game plan. And the game plan for We the People is get your information from other sources and don't believe everything you hear.
And, you know, you and I, again, we talk, and Aaron and I talk about this a lot, too. It really is time to put the emotion aside and get strategic.
Oh, yeah.
How about the prospect of going after the rights of these papers to publish public notices and other government-funded bulletins when they are clearly so partisan that they're rigging elections for judge? Can't we go after their funding from the government for it being a public organ?
I do not know, but you could check that out and tell. I can't even figure out if we get writing candidates in November. It was really like four sentences, but it was so convoluted. I'm like, what does this mean?
Well, somebody pays to run public government notices in the paper, and the papers make money off of that, which makes them sort of an organ. And if they cannot be adherent to election laws, then maybe they should have that funding withdrawn and no longer be recognized as a viable source of information from the government.
Hmm. We're in.
And I'll leave that with you. And
let's take a small vote, anybody? Yep. Okay, we're in.
Thanks,
okay,
Mike.
Well, elect me your leader, and I will lead you into a broad sunlit upland.
Are you going to be a writing candidate?
Do we have to say it like we're zombies? What is it?
No, but I will be forming an exploratory committee to see how much money I can raise.
Right on.
Thanks, right, Mike.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Huh. So Linda,
that is an interesting question.
we know that there are more things that volunteers can do besides poll observing. Mm-hmm. And I know that they can be actual poll workers, and that's something that we can do through the county register. And I know we've only got a minute and a half before our top of the hour break. But I remember having a conversation with you where people had applied to be poll workers, and somehow their applications kind of went by the wayside, and there's even some fraud there.
Mm-hmm. You know, we really encourage people to get involved working in the polls, because that's different than observing. But we did see across the counties in primaries that there was a tremendous amount of chaos. And that chaos in the polls came from registered voters telling us that they did not have enough poll workers. And we're curious about that in some of our counties, because we know that there were hundreds of people who applied to work in the polls, but they weren't called. And so we'd like to try to help in that area, and we're going to encourage people to get involved with the Election Integrity Project. And if they would like to apply to work in the polls, to let us know that they'd like to do that too, and we'll do some follow-up for them.
And very quickly, you also now have 77% of the registered voting population of the state of California covered with Election Integrity Project teams, the majority of that being in San Diego County, L.A. County. No.
We are incorrect. Actually, yes, we are now up to 81%.
Oh, okay, because when you and I talked before, yep. It was 7. Oh, so we're growing.
We brought in more
nice.
Counties.
We're growing, and we're taking a break. You're going to hear some
grab
news.
Grab your coffee, folks.
5 minutes of news, folks. We're going to be right back with you at We the People Radio. We're talking about election fraud and stuff and how to prevent it. You're here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
It gets so hard sometimes to understand. This vicious circle's getting out of hand. Don't need an extra eye to see that the fire spreads the faster in degree.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We're back, hour two of We the People Radio. Join us on the chat room by going to wethepeopleradio.us. Everything about the Election Integrity Project and its founder, Linda Payne, will be on that website, as well as links to all things voter and election fraud and what to do about it. Give us a call at 530-605-4567. You're joining your hosts, Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and our incredible sound engineer, Bob Martin. So we've got Barry DeForest on the line. Barry's going to jump in here real quick before we get back to Linda, and he's going to tell us about a very special guest that will be in Reading tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. at the Reading Tea Party.
And he's also on the radio tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Right here.
Carl Bott.
At 8 o'clock.
Barry, you're on.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I just want to remind people who Paul Peterson is. He was on the Donna Reed Show, played her son. Paul's been in quite a few movies. He is in one with Sophia Loren and Cary Grant called Houseboat. And he's played quite a few roles. And he got involved with, he started a minor consideration is to protect the children that are in the movie and entertainment industry. But he's a great American, a really good American, and he wants to come here and talk about some of his experiences that he's had and how they're kind of blackballed once you fight the establishment of the entertainment business.
No. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, blackballed.
And he just has a lot of insight. He told me one about some and a particular actor, I won't mention name. Before they go to work, they will throw up on the way to work because they're so nervous about doing it. But yet when you see them up on the screen or whatever, they seem normal.
That's like Carol King had terrible stage fright. I mean, there's a lot of that.
And I would like for people to go to his website and learn a lot. Just go to a minor consideration.
I'm actually looking at it right now, and it's www.minorcon.org is where I pulled him up. a minor consideration. And interestingly enough, when I was chatting with him the other day, he was saying that a lot of these, all these reality shows that have kids on them, that none of those kids get paid.
Yeah. I think
Linda's making the face I made. Yeah, Linda's making the face I made. Isn't that bizarre?
That is bizarre.
It's very bizarre. And he will stay and talk to people after. He's not one of these guys who get in and get out. He will stay as long as people want to talk to him.
That's fantastic, and thank you for bringing him here. And we found out a little random information here before you jumped on. I guess your grandfather, like, invented radio, or?
Well, yeah, the father of radio. The vacuum tube.
What a trip.
That's cool.
Gee, I didn't say any of the money, so.
Gee, thanks,
hey.
Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
Now, when Barry and I were talking the other day, it was your great-grandfather, right?
Yes.
That's right, and he
lead the forest.
He well, if I'm not sure how he ties in with Marconi, but apparently, if Marconi conceptualized it, lead the forest took it to the next level as far as the ability to put music on the radio and that type of thing. Am I correct on that?
He is the one that put sound on film.
Sound on film.
Star on Hollywood Walk of Fame.
We had no idea. We just thought you were Barry.
I just sit in the back, don't talk to many people.
I know.
That's me.
And he's like, hey, you want Paul Peterson to come? He's like the guy from Donna Reed. And I'm like, I don't know about Donna Reed. And then I started reading about
it. You lived 50 miles from Woodstock and didn't even know it went on.
Okay? I know. During Woodstock,
you're
that's
really
the scary
in the
part.
Loop there.
I am. I'm totally in the loop.
So we'll see you tomorrow night then, huh?
All right.
Along with Paul Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it'll
for
be fun. It really will be. Everyone should come. It's going to be awesome.
It will be awesome, and that's at Destiny Fellowship Church on South Bonneview here in Reading, and you can get the details of that at 24hourpatriots.com. If you live out of town and you'd like to hear Paul Peterson, just, you know, tune into KCNR tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he will be on. It's pretty interesting stuff.
About 7:30?
I do not know.
Are you on at 8 o'clock, Barry?
8 o'clock.
Okay. I'll show up at 7:45. That'll be fine.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
We double as a scheduling organization as well.
Yes, we do.
Do a little scheduling, little news, little random information.
And then a little song and dance and tapping. And,
exactly.
You know.
We only sing them when the music's really loud, and then we sing like far away from the microphones. We didn't tell Linda about that she's going to be doing karaoke later.
Oh, yeah, good.
She's like, oh, that's great.
Sounds like a plan.
I have to go, and I'm right by the door. No, it was, I thought that was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
All these kids that are working in the movies and in these reality shows, and depending on, I guess, the type of thing that they're doing, they're not getting paid. So
they're hoping for their 15 minutes of fame.
That's kind of what the parents are doing. Mm-hmm. And so the parents kind of retain control over that.
Maybe we'll get discovered.
Yeah, so you hear about these kids that are all screwed up from being on.
You're kind of pimping your kid, you know, for hope and change. Okay, so Linda, back to you.
Yeah, go ahead, Linda, try to top that.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Told you we were not PC.
Let's talk about voter fraud. No, you were talking to Bill out there. You guys were chatting about the penalty for voter fraud. What's the...
Well, it is a federal crime. It's a crime, of course, to commit voter fraud. But the comment that you're also often going to hear is that there is no voter fraud. And so they don't worry about penalties because basically there is no voter fraud. And those who are trying to clean up the vote are often accused of looking to solve a problem that doesn't exist. And when you get down into it, they say, well, the reason we say that is because how many cases of voter fraud are there? So really I'd like to speak to that.
Mm.
The reason there are not a lot of cases of voter fraud is because nobody has ever done this. What Election Integrity Project is doing in California has never been done, ever, on a statewide issue basis. There might have been a small group here and there. There have been citizen activists in like a specific county that have tried to clean up the vote, and that's been for years. There's some excellent work that has been done in Contra Costa County and Nevada County, but on a statewide level, this has never been done. So it's hard to convict someone of voter fraud if you don't have eyes on the process to actually see what's happening, or if you're not educated to this election code to realize that the laws are being broken. So our answer to that is, let's wait and see what happens throughout 2012 as citizens have now gotten involved in observing the process, first with the goal of helping to correct it. Our goal is not to get out there and put everyone in jail. No. Our goal is to fix the process. Let's follow the law. But if in the process of going through the voter rolls we find a crime is being committed, then we do take that to the DA. Or if through the process of observing we see some real issues, then, of course, we would take that forward and let the law handle it.
What have you guys seen so far?
You know, we actually are seeing thousands and thousands of duplicate ballots across the counties.
Wow.
Yeah, we know that there are organizations that send people into all the states to get voter registration. Now, that's voter registration is a good thing. We want people to register to vote. However, when you get paid a bounty of $10 per signature, there's a temptation that would exist to maybe put on some extras. We do know, we touched base with some people up in one of the northern counties last year as they were doing voter registration here. It was during this spring. And they had, in a room, tables and tables full of registration, voter registration. So that's all well and good if it's all legit. In speaking with this gentleman, you know, we said, well, gosh, this is all you do for a living. And he said, yeah, well, we asked, how much do you make a year doing this? He said, well, between $70,000 and $70,000 a year.
Wow.
How many $10 signatures do you need to get to earn $70,000 to $70,000?
Okay, Elizabeth, how many? No, just kidding.
I'm not that quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we would love to see a little bit more guidelines for that. You know, and it's a tough thing. We're between a rock and a hard place. We want people to register to vote. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year.
It
if
is.
You've never registered to vote, get out there, register to vote, get involved. In California, we've heard across the counties, why bother voting? My vote doesn't count anyway.
Oh, yes, it does.
One.
And people have this innate sense, something's wrong. So what Election Integrity Project is saying, this is the year to do it. Get out, mm-hmm. register, vote. We're not mm-hmm. telling you how to vote or what party to vote for. Just register and vote. And this year, maybe also get involved in helping us to ensure a fair, honest election. Volunteer to work the polls. Volunteer to observe the polls. And we hope that in 2012, we have a more fair and honest election because of citizen involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And this
okay.
time, your vote will count.
So let's chat a little bit about the type of training that you do. We left at the break when you said that you were now at 81%. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. We have teams in 18 counties from San Diego County, moving all up towards Sacramento County, and now starting to move further up into the farther north counties.
So you've got the big metropolitan areas covered fairly
well. We do.
Well.
Yeah, we do. And we have tried to be very strategic in our approach. We started in Southern California, mm-hmm. where the large counties are, and slowly moved up to the Bay Area and Central California, networked with different groups that were already doing it so that we could learn to work together. We moved a little bit farther toward the Nevada County line, and now we're up actually touching base with you guys up here in the northern counties.
Because this week alone, you were in, Friday you were in Fresno County, is that correct, or the Fresno area?
Friday I was driving up and touching base with our teams all the way up the 99.
Okay, and then Placer County in
Placer County.
Yesterday and now, and we've pulled together, I think I was counting last night, six of our Northern California counties will be represented today at our workshop. And you did say that when counties pull together and work as a coalition and build their teams together, they have the most success.
That's correct. As we look at the data, we also now are looking at, eventually we'll look at cross-county data. Are you mm-hmm. voting in two counties? Right now, though, our main focus is let's clean up those duplicates. We have registrations where, for instance, we found 100 people registered to vote in an orange grove in one of our counties. And so the work we do with our volunteers is we look at an address that has a large number of people registered, and we'll start with something simple like Google Earth. Well, is there a building there? Maybe there's a bunkhouse, mm-hmm. you know. But we actually send volunteers out to take a visual look, because you can't always tell from Google or Zillow or some of these what's really there. Those are older. We get an actual visual picture. Is there a building? Well, this particular orange grove, there wasn't mm-hmm. a building. So those 100 registrations have to be removed from the register of voters, because it's not legal to register at an orange grove with no building.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the work that we do across the county is clean up.
Because like someone in the chat room here said, well, we shouldn't pay people to register to vote. And I'm thinking, well, actually, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Right. I mean, it's like we shouldn't pay people to do all sorts of stuff. I mean, we could say, yep, everybody ought to be just altruistic and go do that. But if people are registering folks to vote, and let's say that they're registering fake people, well, there's a built-in safeguard in that when they go to the county, that should be caught.
That's right.
When they go to the registrar of voters, that's really where the issue is. It isn't in the registration. They can't even get paid until those signatures are validated. So really, where's the problem?
Right.
Is at the county level.
That's right. And mm-hmm. the challenge isn't validating those signatures. There is work that is done. There's a company that, maybe it's part of the government. But when you've got someone who turns in, say, okay, here's 1,500 voter registrations that I have, and they turn those in, there's the company that hires some of these people to go out and get the registrations. What they're supposed to do is verify those signatures and then send them on to the Secretary of State. And we have heard of companies that have found a third of signatures that are not valid, and they pull them. So there is that safeguard that's in there. The phrase we often use is opening the door to potential voter fraud. Not mm-hmm. everything that's mm-hmm. happening sure. is voter fraud.
Sure,
it's legitimate. So it's the policies and procedures that are used. The question is, do those procedures safeguard the vote, or do they open the door to the potential for fraud? And as long as you've got safeguards in place to protect legitimate registrations, then it's a good thing. And to get paid to go out and get people registered to vote, I don't see a problem with that. It's when that door is open, you do something manipulative mm-hmm.
right.
with it.
Sure. Well, we were supposed to take a break. Now we're on the thread here.
We did
cross
our
2 minutes.
Sorry,
Bob. We blew you off.
I'm on the bubble.
He turned his back to us and was doing something else. So we were like, hey, you can't see us. He's like our dad. Just as long as the dad's not watching, we're not going to do it. All right. So are we good?
If I don't keep an eye on you, you'll blow the break off altogether.
I know. We've done that before, and then we had to have all the breaks at the same time. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Check us out on the web, wethepeopleradio.us. We're talking about voter fraud back in 2 minutes at KCNR 1460 AM.
She just started liking cheating songs and was bothering me. I don't know if it's a cheating she likes or just a melody.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
With Linda Payne of the Election Integrity Project. Go to wethepeopleradio.us for everything that you need to know. So, Linda, a couple of questions that came across either on the chat room or phone calls. Number one, what do we do about voter intimidation?
You know, one of the ways that we're solving that problem is through our poll observers. We have the authority as citizens to see that the laws of our elections are enforced. So when you have a poll observer at a poll location, our goal is to put a poll observer inside the poll and outside the poll. So if the person who is observing what's happening outside the poll sees that someone is starting to intimidate voters from coming or saying, you can't be here to observe, we have a headquarters in each of our areas, and that poll observer would first approach the inspector and let the inspector know, you've got a problem out here, you've got someone intimidating voters, and we'd like you to do something about it. The poll inspector then should call the registrar voter and take care of it and make sure that it stopped. If they're not able to do that, or if the inspector is intimidated, we can then, if it's a really big issue, we can simply call 911 mm-hmm. and bring the police force in. We can also call our headquarters and report it, and our headquarters for EIP would contact the ROV themselves or law enforcement. And that is an easy way to fix it. The one thing that we are doing that we didn't do in 2010 is we are documenting what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's no longer going to be a he said, she said mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yes, there's voter fraud. No, there's not. We're documenting. Here's what we saw. Our observers are saying, we'll sign on the dotted line. We'll testify that this is happening. So it's no longer a myth that there is no voter fraud.
Okay. And what was the other one, Bob?
The myths and the realities of the Spanish company counting the votes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good one. Yeah, that did come across our desk. And the first message that came out is that they're going to be counting all of our votes, and that is not exactly what it is. They've purchased the software to part of the elections and how that happens, but the actual counting of the ballots, that still happens in your county, in your county's headquarters. So, yeah, we would love to dispel that myth.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's cool. And then, okay, so you have observers. They have to be registered ahead of time. They can't just show up
right
the day of the election. Do they have a name tag on, or do they have a thing that says I'm an observer?
Yes. The law says that citizens have the right to observe the election process, all of it, start to finish, from the opening of the polls, the setting up of the polls, the closing of the polls, all the way to dropping that ballot box off at the drop-off point. We have the right to observe the signature verification. Now, sometimes there are limits in terms of the size of the room might be small, and so candidates have the right to send an observer. Parties have the right to send an observer. Citizen groups like ours have the right to send an observer. If ever there's a concern, it might be, gosh, we're in such a small room, you can only send one observer. We generally only send one anyway. But we train the observers. We have about a 3-hour training, and that training will be starting in October. But we're encouraging Californians to go to our website and sign up now. We have a link on our website called Get Involved, and you can click on Get Involved, and you'll see all the counties of California. You click on the link to your county, and you'll get a form that will come up. So you'll type in your name and contact info, and when you hit send, it will go to the coordinating team in that county. And then they will contact you and get you set up and get you on the list. We encourage people to also sign up for our newsletter called The Observer. And we send it out right now once a week. We may be going to twice a week because there's now more California information. But through The Observer, that way they know they didn't fall through the cracks. So while they're waiting for that training to start, they can become informed, find out what's going on. They can also get onto our Facebook page. We really try to educate so many Californians, I think across the country. We are not educated about our elections anymore because with the absentee ballot, what inadvertently unintentional consequences is that we got uninvolved. Ballot comes in, sign it, send it in. We don't have to worry about it. Actually, in fact, if I can touch that real quick, mm-hmm. we are really encouraging voters to get off of the absentee ballot. If you can, if you don't travel, if you're able to go to the polls, switch out that your ballot, get an in-person ballot, and go to the polls and vote. That is really the only way that you can ensure that your ballot went into the ballot box. Once you let that ballot goes out of your hand and you put it in the mailbox, it goes through the hands of many people.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know for sure whose yeah. hands it's going in.
Yeah.
In fact, some of our counties have a procedure in their pre-election where they set up ballot boxes in government buildings. Some set them up in a parking lot completely unstaffed.
Yeah, well, there was talk about that here, and yeah. people were like, that doesn't seem like a very good idea.
Absolutely.
Well, no, before we go too much further, it's electionintegrityproject.com. So when we're right. sending people to the site, we should tell them what it is.
Right.
So electionintegrityproject.com, you can get info on that. And then, okay, so for people who, I mean, I missed a It's been years ago, but I don't remember if it was a primary or a general, but it was a big election, and I missed it because I wound up out of town, and I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, I had to go the night before, and, you know, anyway, there was just no way I could be here. So I registered permanent absentee. So for those of us that potentially wind up with goofy schedules, is it, I mean, would it be useful if you got your absentee ballot to walk it into the polls?
Yes, absolutely.
If you know you're not going to be gone that year, rather than keep changing back and forth, back and forth?
Absolutely. That would be the way to do it. Vote permanent absentee ballot, but walk it to the polls. Be sure that they write spoiled across it. When you turn it in...
That's what I was going to ask you. What happens when you go in?
They have to mark it that you've turned it in, and then they give you a real ballot, not a provisional ballot.
Okay. What is a provisional ballot?
A provisional ballot is a troubled ballot, and that is one where they are supposed to give additional scrutiny. Check that signature. They don't count it right away. So you do not want to end up using a provisional ballot if at all possible. Unfortunately, in the primaries, we saw a big push that just give everyone a provisional ballot, and people didn't realize that really you're better off with a real ballot. So go to your polling place. With redistricting, people were confused.
Mm-hmm.
So ahead of time, find out where your district is. If you've been redistricted, go to that polling place. If you have an absentee ballot, turn it in. Be sure they write spoiled, and then they give you a real ballot. And then you know you've marked it. You have put it in the ballot. And don't leave the polling place till you know your ballot is in the box. We had reports of people in some polls saying, well, I'll take your ballot for you, and then not putting it in the box, sitting in an outside box. And there's a big concern there that the election code is you put it in the ballot box, not on top of it, not waiting it for later. So
if you're an absentee and you take it to the polls, you don't just drop it off.
No, I would not drop it off.
You make sure
they write spoiled,
yep,
and then you
vote like you were not an absentee at all.
If you have an absentee ballot and you go to your polling place and you give it to them, do you still have to... That's not counted. I mean, do you still have to have another ballot?
Well, you actually can just drop it off if you don't want to go through the time to do that. And they take that absentee ballot and they'll add that in.
Okay.
So if you really are tight on time, you don't have time to go, you know, go through and mark it.
You have an elderly person and you're, you know, it's a family member. You're helping them by taking their ballot to the polling place for them.
And you can sign that you're doing that. There's a spot on them. I remember if someone else is dropping it off for you.
In fact, you must sign.
Yeah.
Some of the challenges that we're having are that some of those absentee ballots that are being turned in by a family member are not being signed. There's a log in your polling location in which you log that this person brought in a ballot for, you know, so-and-so. And so we're asking that those election codes be followed so that we can make sure that absentee ballots are being turned in correctly. We did have a vet tell us that she was in a hospital, and someone had come through the rooms and said, hey, let me make sure your ballot goes in, and I'll take it. And by the way, you don't have to sign it. And she didn't sign it, and she thought better of it. And, you know, I think I'm supposed to sign that. And she got herself out of bed and went to look for this fellow, and he'd been going room to room picking up these vets' ballots and telling them they didn't have to sign it. And she went to tell the supervisor on the floor, can we find this guy? I want to sign my ballot. And she said the fella saw them talking, and he turned and walked his way as fast as he could. There's a problem when someone comes to collect your ballot. See, Californians aren't educated about the law, and so as much as possible, we want to educate them. Sign that ballot, and do not give your ballot to someone that is not a trusted person you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think because we've heard that absentee ballots, that's a secure way to do it, that there can be manipulation at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard it both ways. I've heard it from registrar or voters both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So there doesn't seem to be a clear-cut thing. When we come back, let's make sure we touch on online registration, because that's a biggie. All righty, we're going to be back with the Voter Integrity Project. Election Integrity Project. Sorry, I was thinking voter. Okay, bye. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're KCNR 1460. See, Linda, you got the hang of this radio thing already.
How long has this been going on? hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I thank God for my life, for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken thigh and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my mama's eyes, feel the touch of my precious child, and know a mother's love.
We're back. We're wrapping up the second hour of We the People Radio. Go to wethepeopleradio.us for everything about today's guest and today's show. So, Linda, we've got about 20 minutes minus another break, so we got to kind of fly. But you wanted to talk about online registration, donations, and there was one other thing. I don't remember what it was.
Cameras.
Military boat and cameras.
Military. Okay, four
so
things.
You just fly.
Okay. Let's start with military vote. I know there's a huge concern about our military having the vote, getting their ballots in time. The Election Integrity Project was not able to add that into our larger game plan, just resources. But on our website, on our slider, we have the link to the national effort that is protecting the military vote. They have a great effort across the states. And so I would encourage people to click onto their link and see what they can do. We also got wind a couple of weeks ago that there is a California effort to protect the California military vote. And so we've asked them to give us their website and their contact. They're developing that. And we will put that on our website as soon as we have that. What you can do in the meantime is if you have a loved one who, or friend, someone you know who's in the military, have them get actively involved. There are beginning to be military organized efforts to protect their own vote.
Nice. So yeah, there should be.
You start checking and you'll find them there.
Okay.
Next thing is the online registration to register vote. That, you know, that's been in the pipe now for quite some time. There's sometimes misinformation that's out there, and we're needing to look into that more. In 2010, we got wind that Jerry Brown had signed a bill that there was same-day registration. Well, it turned out that wasn't correct. There wasn't same-day registration. That didn't pass. And as we were putting our materials together for the primaries, we were scouring the Secretary of State website for that bill. So I'm not sure what happened to it, but
I heard that too.
Yeah,
and I never saw it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So they didn't retake it if something happened and the bill actually didn't pass. So there's so much misinformation. So on this online registration, EIP has not yet checked that out. But we would encourage every citizen, whatever you hear, what we talked about in the beginning, verify, because we don't know anymore what is correct unless we verify.
Because right now you can register online, but that just means that you're downloading a copy of the registration, you sign it, and then you mail it in.
Right. That's correct.
So it just saves one step of going to get the hard copy registration. But there's also something in the works in California where they want people to be able to, what is it? They want them to be able to postmark their ballot the day of the election.
Right.
So your absentee ballot no longer has to be in received prior.
Right.
What's up with that one?
You know, we're not sure. We just heard about that actually just a couple of days ago. And I know there's pros and cons because if someone didn't get it in, they can still do it election day. You know, we're not so sure that's a good idea. You know, when you set boundaries and you keep moving the line, with what we've learned with that potential for voter fraud and manipulation of the system, we're not sure that there's something going on with that. If you've got to process all of these absentee ballots, you need to have a deadline before the elections so that you can process those absentee ballots, make sure they're in, and then begin to have a decent time frame to validate and verify those signatures. We know that as we look at those signatures, we've been told that the standard is that they should err on the side of the voter. That's such a vague term.
Mm-hmm.
That if someone saw a ballot come by with no signature, they could say, based on that, you know, I bet they just forgot to sign it. Let's go ahead and count it. So see, that's a boundary that got expanded. We're going to look more into that, but I am not so sure that's a good idea. We need to get this mm-hmm. done so we can call these races in a decent amount of time mm-hmm. and be able to check it in a decent amount of time.
Sure, because right? What is it now, 30 days?
28 days.
28 days to, mm-hmm. to certify the election?
Right, right. So that would be our question. If all of these absentee ballots are allowed now to be postmarked on Election Day, how many days out do you need to go?
Well, you'd have to make some kind of a change because
absolutely.
In a mm-hmm. large area with, you know,
absolutely.
Potentially a huge amount of people.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So military,
and, online registration. We want to talk about donations.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. We are a grassroots organization, and we function on donations. If you're wanting to say, how can I help? We would love to have donations. Even $5 a person would go a long way. We are in the process now of finalizing our updated materials for training. We're looking at printing training material for thousands of poll observers.
Sure.
And we are going to make the election issues handbook available to any inspector that would like to have it. We saw in the primaries inspectors asking, can I take a look at that?
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to print enough for any inspector that would like to have one on their person on election day so they can check the code themselves and see how things are supposed to be done. So we are definitely raising money to print all of that material. When we do the training and someone comes to the training, they'll have a trainer's manual and an election issues day handbook. We also print educational brochures, and we believe that citizens in California need to be trained on what should be done. So we have printing for that. The other thing is we are also raising funds for our legal fund. If the law is being broken, mm-hmm. we want to take those cases forward. And so to do that, we need to raise funds to cover legal costs in order to do that. And I just want to clarify right there. When I say taking a legal case forward, we're meaning organized efforts. We're not meaning, boy, you know that, Elizabeth, we're going to take her down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the individual person.
Yeah.
We're looking for the organized effort. And we do have a lot of information that we gained from our primaries, and we are in the process of taking that forward. So
you found some organizations that were doing things that were not legit, huh?
Right. Mm. That's correct. So anyone who would like to donate, they can go to our website and donate on our website. And I do want to clarify, Judicial Watch launched their program 2012 Election Integrity Project. Their name is so similar to ours, mm-hmm. but we are not affiliated with Judicial Watch. We love that organization, but we are not them. So if you're wanting to help the Election Integrity Project effort here in California.
The volunteer effort,
right.
Rather than the judicial
correct.
Organization.
Right, because Judicial Watch has a whole, it's a different organization with a different mission statement, mm-hmm. a different effort that they're doing.
They probably work after the fact, once all of the volunteer efforts have found evidence of.
Well, they do, yeah. And you know, they do a good work mm-hmm. trying to ensure that those states are following the law. But here in California, with the effort that we're doing here, if you'd like to donate to the California effort, please go to our website, theelectionintegrityproject.com. Right.
I missed my cue. Was that trademark
right.
infringement?
Right, exactly. So, and we do appreciate all donations.
Yeah.
This is probably the largest effort ever in California to educate voters, train poll workers, train poll observers to help protect and preserve a fair, honest election. And we all know that November is going to be a critical election,
yeah.
regardless of what party you're on. It's a critical election.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we all want a fair, honest election. We want that outcome to be what we, the people, have voted for and not what someone else has manipulated.
Great.
Very cool. Quick break, then we'll come back. We'll decide how, what other 9 topics you can cover in the last 10 minutes. We'll be stressing Linda out during the break. All right. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Teach me love.
are streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Last 9 minutes. Let's talk money and volunteers. Number one.
Yeah, because it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah. If you'd like to sponsor We the People Radio, go to contact Elizabeth at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll talk. And talked a little bit about donations to the electionintegrityproject.com. There's a place there where you can plug in. And
now that we have all your money. Now we just want your time.
There you go. So we've got a workshop here today in Reading at the Reading Library from 1 to 5. We've got lots of people coming. If you are just tuning into the show and want to jump on board to that training, it is a no-charge training. It's all volunteer-based. So join us at the Reading Library Community Room from 1 to 5 today. And then we just want to hit volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. Get involved, get involved, get involved.
Right. In that order.
In that order. Mm-hmm. It's a great order.
After you're done donating.
You know, this really is so much a grassroots. We are pulling it up from the bootstraps. We're all donating time, money, and whatever we can to bring our state back to the foundational roots of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all about. And so if ever there was a time for citizens to get involved, this is that time. If you work, take a day off. If you're an attorney, we would love your help on election day. Can you donate some time on that day for our headquarters? So if there's an issue and we need to contact an attorney to contact the ROV and solve a major problem, we found in those counties where we had an attorney who made themselves available, it was a huge help because we had that legal help we needed.
Truthfully, everybody can take a day off of work. Really, they can. A sick day, a vacation day. I mean,
We have, 25% of the state's unemployed. So
you got time.
Absolutely.
A lot of folks are available, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Absolutely. So I would start, and here's how I determine it. If you're a person who likes to talk,
I don't, neither does Elizabeth.
I can see
we can't do that.
So, I don't know why they put us on this radio show.
I have no idea.
Because we never say anything, uh-uh. and we have no opinions, and we're not snarky.
Linda's like, for God's sake, the clock is running out. Shut
up. And we're not snarky.
No, we're not snarky.
Ever.
Okay, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Okay, if you are someone who likes to talk, we encourage you to apply to work in the polls with your county. Now, your county will do poll worker training, but we also encourage you to come to the Election Integrity Project poll worker observer training, because we will focus on the election law codes. But the poll worker gets to talk all day to the voters and to each other. The poll observer, that is a position where you really are not allowed to speak with the voters or the poll workers, only the inspector. Your job is to observe. Pay attention to the details of what's going on. Be familiar with the election code so you can recognize mm-hmm. when it's not being followed. And then to document. So that's a very detail-oriented person. So
really, there's a job for everybody depending on your personality type.
You bet. And our goal, honestly, is to have a poll observer in every single poll. Now, will we reach that? I don't know. We might. If everyone decided, I'm stepping up. I'm suiting up, and I'm stepping up. I'm going to be there on election day. I'll apply now to work the polls, because you got to apply now if you want to work the polls. That's not a last-minute thing. But work with us on it, and we will communicate with our ROVs to say, hey, we've got a stack of 200 people here who applied to work the polls. Do you have their names? Did they get lost in the system somewhere? Because you've got them, and we want to make sure they have the opportunity to work in the polls. By the way, some of our counties use just city and county employees to work in the polls. And so we would like to challenge that idea with those poll observers with the registered voters and say, wait a minute, every citizen should have the same opportunity, equal access to observing and working in the polls. So we would like to help ensure that people who would like to work the polls get to have a chance to do that.
Sure.
Also, go ahead and apply now to observe the polls with Election Integrity Project. Get on that list so we can start to know how many venues we need to set up to train. And another area you can help in, some of our counties are huge, and even our smaller counties have several big cities. We would love to see people step up and be a team captain for that particular area or county and say, you know what, here's how I'll help. I'll help you find a venue to come and train in my area, and I'll help get flyers out. I'll help get the word out so people who want to come and get trained to observe and work in the polls, they'll know where to come. We'll pick up some donations in our town, and if there's a cost for that venue, we'll cover the cost on that venue. But you just get your EIP trainers here and train our folks to go to the polls and protect our fair and honest election, and we'll help you do that. So those are ways that you can help. If you live in a county, let's say Shasta County, then go to the link, get involved, click Shasta County. That will go to a person, and then type in there, here's how I'd like to help. I'd like to be a team captain and help you train the people in my area.
Right.
And then we can come out and do that.
Great.
That is, for all those people that we've met, that we know, that potentially some of the folks listening are, who say that, you know, my vote doesn't count, or elections are rigged, or there's so much voter fraud, I don't know what we're going to do about it, and you think that it's going to come from Eric Holder or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, that
this would be your call to action.
There's a reason that that phrase "we the people" exists. I mean, it's just like if you're a parent, you don't you don't shove your kid out the door, you know, early in the morning and say you're on your own till dinner. I mean, if you're an employer, you don't.
Bill's mom did sometimes.
When you could do that as a kid.
He lit a fire in a field.
Oh, there you go. So not anymore for Bill. No more for Bill. Or if you're an employer, you don't hire somebody and then say, okay, go do whatever you want. I'm going to take off now. You're on your own. Yeah, it's time for us to take responsibility for our country. Freedom isn't free. You can't take it for granted because you're a generation away from losing it. So honestly, it really does come back to some responsibility and accountability on the part of the citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, again, all those people that are out there complaining about election fraud, hello, you fix it at your polling place.
You know, this is a reality. To be a part of this, especially in November, people who step up and help, they are really they are part of history. This is history in the making. This effort to protect and preserve our elections in California has never been done. So I would think even to put it in my scrapbook, I'm going to do it. I was a part of that. I was a part of the 2012 elections in November. I observed in this poll, and we made sure that the election laws were followed. To me, this is one of the most exciting things to be involved in, because all of the efforts across California, as we're battling with the overreach of government, all the things that we're dealing with in California, if we had a fair, honest election, we knew that every person elected was indeed elected by the people, you can't help but wonder what the outcome might look like.
Sure.
And to be a part of that is a very exciting thing.
And, you know, there are so many people like us, like you, who are already stepping up on our own time, on our own dime. It can be done. We're trying to pave the way for others. We're making it possible to find a place to plug in. So really, to sit back and complain and do nothing is really passé. I mean, those days are over. There is no excuse for being a complainer and not being a doer.
And when you know you have something to do, actually you complain less because you feel empowered.
Exactly.
You know, and that whatever hour you have in your week, there is something for you to do. Mm-hmm. And we encourage you to let
us know.
And this
isn't one of those endless volunteer things.
No.
I mean, figure it out and go do it in November.
Sure.
There you go. You know, you're in.
And be empowered not only by the fact that you did something, but because you have this wealth of knowledge that now you will never lose.
The wealth of knowledge that I did not provide as a researcher in this program, however, I could not determine from the Secretary of State site what happens with the write-in candidates.
You know, I can't.
It was a pretty short. It was two little paragraphs, probably four sentences, and yet it was written in some sort of language I don't speak.
This is part of our problem.
Yeah.
Thank you, Linda.
So that question lingers.
Thanks,
you, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Election Integrity Project. Be there or be square, folks.
I can do this, really. Don't forget the workshop at the library from 1 to 5 this afternoon in Reading. Linda will be there.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Bob.
You betcha. Don and Judy. Don Shulman, Judy Maxwell coming up next here on KCNR, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good night, Mary.